Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Colossians chapter number 1. We're getting near the end of this chapter. There's only four chapters, so and the first chapter is going to take the longest because it's the most doctrinal, although chapter 2 is too, but it's very very long, and it'll start moving quicker, I think, as we get into chapter 2. If you need a handout tonight, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to give you a handout. We're going to be in verses 25, 26 tonight, I think I gave you the notes through the end of the chapter, but I don't know that we'll get all the way through that tonight. We'll see how far we get. Tonight, I want to focus on what Paul calls the mystery there in verse 26. Paul says in verse number 25 that he had been made a minister. God made him. Remember, Christ saved him. Christ had made him a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So Paul was a minister, mainly to the Gentiles. We know that God sent him out to the Gentiles, and most of his fruit was among the Gentiles. That's what constantly got Paul in hot water, is that the Jews did not like him going out to the Gentiles that way and preaching to them the gospel. Paul said that a dispensation of God had been given to him. And the word dispensation would be where we get dispense. God had dispensed to Paul some divine revelation. There was some truth that had been committed to Paul. And we learned last week several things about that. If you look at verse 25, Paul said there at the end of the verse, which is given to me for you. So God gave Paul this truth. He gave it to Paul. And then Paul said, now I've given it to you. He said there in verse number 25, if you look at the end there, he said the revelation he'd been given would fulfill the word of God. That word fulfill means to complete, to finish. So Paul said, what I've been given is going to complete, it's going to finish, it's going to round out God's word. And then he says in verse number 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. So Paul said, this divine truth that I've got from the Lord, it was kept secret. It was hidden. It wasn't made known in previous generations. But then look at the end of verse 26. But now is made manifest to his saints. So the time had come now for this truth to be revealed. In your handout, it says, what was the core and the foundation of the divine revelation that God gave to Paul? Paul calls it what is it? The mystery. So let's write that in our notes there, the mystery. And then it'll be a little bit before we write. So if I could just have your attention, I really need you to listen on purpose tonight. I got my pointer here because I'm going to bring up one of my famous charts, okay? And we're going to go through some things. Now, the word mystery, when Paul says even the mystery which hath been hid, the word mystery there refers to something that had been previously kept secret by God, but has now been revealed. It's been made known. It's been made manifest. You're not going to find this revelation that God gave Paul called the mystery. You're not going to find that in the Old Testament. You're going to maybe find the foundation of Christ, of course, in the Old Testament. Christ is all through the Bible. But as far as what we're going to study tonight, the revelation that God gave Paul called the mystery, it wasn't revealed. Paul said it was hid. And so God kept it hidden. You won't find it in the Old Testament. By the way, you're not going to find the mystery in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not there. It was kept hidden. God kept it secret. God kept it hidden what he was going to do. Now, the mystery is in direct contrast to the divine revelation in your Bible referred to as prophecy. Now, just those two words ought to let you know there's a difference. Okay? Mystery, something hidden. Prophecy is something that's been what? It's not a trick question. Prophecy. If there's a prophetic program in the Bible, we see prophetic would mean that it has been prophesied. Right. There you go. It's been prophesied. It's been talked about. It's been preached. It's been proclaimed. It's been made known. Go to Acts chapter 3. Keep your bookmarker right here. Acts chapter 3. Peter here is preaching to Israel, and he tells them they need to repent of crucifying Christ. They've done evil, they've done wicked by crucifying him. And in Acts 3:19, he says, "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he, God, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since what?" Now look up here. There is a body of truth that God says was a mystery and was kept secret since the foundation of the world. There's another body of truth that Peter says has been prophesied by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. One set of truth kept secret. There's another program called the prophetic program that has been prophesied, talked about, preached, and proclaimed since the world began. This prophetic program, this is where I'm going to bring up the chart, if y'all would bring that up. This prophetic program here begins being proclaimed way back here at the very beginning of time. This prophetic program, God said it's going to go through, it's going to be achieved, it's going to be accomplished through a vessel. And that is through a vessel, a nation called Israel. God is going to take this prophetic program and he's going to accomplish it on the earth through the nation of Israel. So this prophetic program has been made known from the very beginning. Now, look up here. The core of prophecy. When you hear people talking about prophecy and all that on TV, remember this. The core of prophecy is the return of Jesus Christ from heaven to the what? To the earth. Jesus Christ coming back now, the word revelation. What word do we get out of that? Reveal. Christ will reveal himself to the world. He'll make himself known. He'll come down to the earth. The prophetic program right here that's prophesied all the way back here, it has been made known. It has been talked about since the beginning of time. The core of it is right here with the return of Jesus Christ back down to the earth. And here's how it's going to be accomplished. God will take that nation that started way back here with Abraham. That nation, Israel, will be converted. And they will be established on the earth in their land. And when Christ comes back and he establishes them, their kingdom, here in this land area, they will be a source of divine blessing to all the Gentile nations. You can read about that all through the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah 59 and 60 is a good passage to look at. But so the prophetic program was that God is going to make Israel a source of blessing to all the Gentile nations. And Christ will rule and reign on that Davidic throne and will be Israel's king. And then he'll bring peace to the earth and so forth and so on. That was the prophetic program. Now, when Israel rejected their Messiah, when they rejected their king, and they said, "We don't want him, crucify him." And then God gives them another chance. He sends the Holy Spirit down and fills the apostles. And then they begin to preach. The Holy Spirit's preaching through them for Israel to repent. And Israel takes them and murders them and persecutes them and jails them and beats them. And now they've rejected not only God the Son, now they've rejected God the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the deal. The prophetic program, when Israel did that, the prophetic program called for God to pour, what's that word right there? Wrath. God would pour out His wrath on Israel and on the Gentile nations that had all forsaken His Son, Jesus Christ. And God would bring down the wrath. He would make Israel willing in the day of His power. And God, after this wrath, time of wrath, would then send Christ. He would come down and establish the kingdom of peace on the earth through the nation of Israel. Now that's the prophetic program in a nutshell. Okay, 5 minutes, I just gave you what most of your Bible all talks about. And that's prophecy. And that's the fact of what God's going to do in the future. That God is going to fulfill all these promises back here that He made. He's going to do it through Jesus Christ. Christ will come down to the earth. He's going to rule and reign on the Davidic throne of Israel. Israel will be a source of blessing to all the Gentile nations. But before He does that, He'll bring wrath down on the earth, and He will bring wrath upon a world that has turned against His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is where a divine interruption happens in the prophetic program. Jesus Christ makes an unscheduled appearance from heaven. And He makes that unscheduled appearance from heaven to His chief enemy. Can anybody tell me who that is? It's Saul, who later we know as the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ makes an unscheduled appearance to Paul in Acts chapter 9. When the time was ripe for the wrath to come, God appears from heaven. Jesus Christ appears from heaven. He appears to Saul of Tarsus, who we know as the Apostle Paul. There He saves Paul on the road to Damascus. And out of sheer grace, God reaches down and Christ saves His chief enemy. He saves Saul of Tarsus. And so He saves Saul. Paul is his Roman name. And then after He saves Paul, He begins to reveal the mystery to Paul. Well, what was that mystery? What was it? Well, we're going to go back to that chart, okay? So we're going to go back, but I want you to look in your handout, and you're probably going to skip the next slide too, Amanda, and we're going to go to the statement in the handout, and I want you all to get this. Here is the mystery. You ready? Most people can't tell you what the mystery is. Ask them, what is the mystery? And they'll just look at you with a mysterious look. Most people won't be able to tell you what the mystery is, but yet it's the most important thing for people to know today. This is the revelation that God gave to Paul to give to us, but yet most people can't tell you what it is. And I'm going to give it to you tonight, and you're going to know it by the end of this message, okay? Here it is. Number one, instead of God pouring out what? Wrath, that's what should have come according to the prophetic program. God would dispense unprecedented, does anybody know that next word? Grace. Good. To a lost and dying world, a lost and rebellious world. That's why Paul calls it, in Ephesians 3, he calls it the dispensation of the what? Grace of God. Remember he said a dispensation had been committed to him? Well, what was it? It was the dispensation of the grace of God. All right? Go with me real quickly to Ephesians chapter number 3, which is right before Colossians. Okay, so we're studying the book of Colossians, but let's cross-reference here. Ephesians 3 and verse number 2. This is good stuff. I mean, you guys are going to get this, and we're going to understand this tonight. Ephesians 3, verse 2. He says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, look at this phrasing again. Paul said, which is given, what's the next word? Me. To what? You word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it's the dispensation of grace. God dispensed grace to a world that deserved what? Are you glad for that tonight? Number two in your handout, this is the second thing about the mystery. This grace would not just extend to Israel. God revealed to Paul that he was going to offer this grace on an absolutely equal basis to Jew and Gentile alike. If you look down at Ephesians 3, I hope you're still there. Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians 3, 6. Paul says, talking about this mystery, that the Gentiles, look at it, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. And then he says down there, look down at verse number 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, and I like this phrase, say it with me, riches of Christ. And so this grace wasn't going to be just for Israel, because up to this point it had been all Israel. The prophetic program, everything revolves around Israel. So you know what Paul did? Paul takes the grace, not through Israel's acceptance of Christ, which is what the prophetic program said, Israel will be a source of blessing to the Gentiles. They'll be a light. They'll go out and be a source of blessing. No, he takes this grace through the rejection of Israel of Christ and takes it straight to the Gentiles. That did not make him popular with the Jews, okay? And so this is why he suffered so much. This is why the Jews would track down Paul from city to city. They would hound after him. They'd aggravate him and they would you know, blaspheme against what he was saying, and they would seek to stone him. And they were so angry with him because they didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that he's offering the grace of God to everybody now on an equal basis. Look in your handout, Romans 10, 12 and 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto, what's that next word? All that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, say it with me, shall be saved. Are you glad for that tonight, church? The grace of God has been offered on an absolutely equal basis. That's part of the mystery. Let me give you the next part of the mystery. Number three. This is what God revealed to Paul. Israel's prophetic plan would be set aside, but what's the next word? Temporarily. Has God forgotten His plan for Israel? No, He set him aside temporarily, and God would begin forming something altogether new. And that's this new organism called what? The body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. Okay, I hope you're still in Ephesians. Go back to chapter 2. All right, let's look at verse number 14. Let's read about this forming of this new organism. Ephesians 2:14. For He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both, Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain, of two, Jew and Gentile, one, what's the next? New man. So making peace. So He took Jew and Gentile, believers, put them together in one body and calls it one new man. It's not Israel made over. It's not Israel with a facelift, okay? It's a brand new thing that never existed before. It's a new man. It's called the body of Christ. Look down at verse 16. And that He might reconcile both, that's Jew and Gentile, unto God in one what? Body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Which brings me to the last thing there in your handout. Part of the mystery is that Gentiles would no longer have to go through the nation of Israel for divine blessing and acceptance. They could go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Now, what I did, aren't you glad you can go straight to God today, huh? Aren't you glad you don't have to make a trek to Jerusalem? Aren't you glad you don't have to go through the nation of Israel? Aren't you glad that you, personally, privately, individually, in your heart, could trust Jesus Christ, and the moment you trusted Him, The Holy Spirit took you, baptized you, placed you into the body of Christ. You were seated in heavenly places, and you were given all divine spiritual blessings in heavenly places for all eternity. And it was all through your personal faith in Jesus Christ. You didn't have to go through Israel to do that. And that's the part of the mystery, see? And that's stuff that was unprophesied. It wasn't talked about. This is stuff God gave Paul to give to us. And what I did is I really racked my brain, and I was trying to take this thing, and I literally wrote this about an hour ago, okay? I was trying to think of a way to make it simple for you to remember what the mystery is all about. And so what I did is I took the word gain, because Paul said Israel's loss, you know, the fact they rejected their kingdom program, that's our gain, amen? And so I took the word gain, and I made an acrostic out of that where you can, where we took the mystery and made it. You'll see, I'm going to put it up on the screen. Can we go to that screen that's back there? It takes the word gain. It should be back right after the chart, I believe. Right after the chart. Can you find that and bring that up? Is it there? No? Brian says it better be there. Can somebody maybe help her with that? Can somebody help her find that? Maybe she's not having trouble locating it. Brian to the rescue here. While he's going there, turn with me in your Bible real quick. I do want you to see something. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, okay? 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And notice what Paul said here in verse number 4, okay? Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:4, that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many? All, to be testified in, and look at the next phrase there, due time. Paul is that due time testifier, see? And then verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. And then notice how Paul calls himself a teacher of the what? Gentiles in faith and verity, truthfulness. So in your handout, it says that the wonderful mystery that God kept secret, he made known in due time to Paul, and Paul then revealed it to the churches and to the other apostles. Now let me ask you a question while they're still trying to find that up there. Let me know, Brian, when you find that. Now look at me. Some of you will know this, some of you may not, but I want you to listen closely. When Paul got the revelation of the mystery, this dispensing of truth about the grace of God, when Paul got that information, okay, did he get it from Peter, James, John, or any of the other apostles? No, he did not. How did he get it? Who gave him that information? You got it, Brian? Did we find it? Okay, he got it from Jesus Christ. Go with me, the book right before Ephesians. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. He got that information directly from Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after what? Man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But, notice how he got it. He said, I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, I am amazed, to be honest with you, I am amazed at the, really just the biblical ignorance that is out there about Paul and about the mystery and what he got. I'm amazed. I really am. And really, there's no way to explain it other than, because it's so clear, there's no way to explain it other than satanic delusion. You know, in Paul's day, he said, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He told Timothy. There was a satanic turning away from Paul that was beginning to take place even in Paul's lifetime. And through the centuries, it's been very, very much a turning away from Paul. And when you turn away from Paul, when you turn away from the mystery that God gave Paul, you end up with a mess. You end up with a lot of times, and I'm gonna really hit on this tonight, that when you don't understand the difference between prophecy and did we ever bring up the rest of that chart? I don't think I ever did that. But man, I never went back to that. All right, I'm sorry. I really am. I know that this is a mess tonight, but I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna do. You got that one thing ready, right? All right, let's go to that first. Let me give you what I got here, okay? You're going to have to write this on the back of your notes or somewhere on the side margins of your notes because it's not in there. And I want you to get this. If somebody comes to you and says, well, what's the mystery? What's the mystery that God gave Paul to give to us? Here's a little thing that'll help you. Let's bring it up. Okay, go ahead and bring that up. Okay, number one is the G. And make a capital G, and then that stands for the word what? Grace. Okay. And then the next one is the letter. Go ahead and bring it up. A, and that stands for His grace is made available to who? To all. Remember we said it's available to everybody on an absolutely equal basis. His grace is available to the whole world today because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then the next letter, let's go ahead and bring that up, is the word I. And that stands for the fact that Israel, in this time period that we're living in, okay, the mystery, Israel has been set aside temporarily. God's not working through Israel today. He's not working through that nation. They don't have a favored status. They are just like all the other nations today. They have been set aside. They've been cast aside temporarily, okay? And then the last letter is N. And that stands for the fact Israel's been set aside temporarily, and a new body is being formed. And Paul calls that body the what? He calls it the church which is his body. And so there is a new body being formed today, a new organism called the church. And if we bring up the last click, I think, it says there that Israel's loss is the world's gain. And you can read about that in Romans 11:11-12. The fact that Israel has fallen, okay, they rejected the kingdom program, the prophetic program. Well, that opened the door for the mystery. And God saved Paul and revealed all these wonderful, wonderful things to him. So I was trying to think of a way that you could remember the mystery and have kind of a simple way to do it. Now, so that's why I wrote that out tonight, and I thought that'll be a way to be able to remember that. Let's go through it real quickly. If somebody asks you, what's the mystery? What are you going to tell them? Number one, what? Grace. It's the dispensation of grace. His grace is, number two, available to all. Okay? And because His grace is available to all, that means he had to take that prophetic program for Israel, and Israel has been set aside temporarily. Okay? And then, what's the last thing there? What's he doing today? He's what? He's forming a new body, the church, the body of Christ. Okay? So I wanted to give you that. I hope you got that in your notes as an addition, and that'll really help you. Take that home, and I want you to really make that part of your heart to where you can just really understand and just spout that out quickly and explain that to people that you're talking to about that. Now, to go back to the chart, if we could go back to that, Amanda, go back to that chart and bring that up. And this is what I want to finish up with this tonight. The prophetic program is talked about all in the Old Testament. Christ comes, He's rejected. The Holy Spirit comes to Israel, He's rejected. So, go ahead and hit the next click. Okay? You see, hidden in God was a mystery. And that mystery program was where God would pour out His grace to the world, and the prophetic program would be what? Interrupted. And we live in this parentheses right now. This is where we're at, called the church age. It's going to end with the whole church being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We call it the rapture. And when that event happens, then is going to the prophetic program will resume. The prophetic time clock will begin ticking again. And God will once again be dealing with the nation of Israel. And the prophetic program will resume. There'll be 7 years of God's what? Wrath. Then who's going to come and reveal himself from heaven? Jesus. He's going to come down to the earth. And that's when the prophetic program will be fulfilled. All these promises back here will be fulfilled literally. And Christ will rule and reign on the Davidic throne. And he will establish the what? The kingdom over all the earth. Okay, let's make sure that we put that chart online, Brian. Okay, we'll put that chart online tomorrow along with the notes so that you can take that and study that. Okay, but to go back to real quickly to this, Paul did not get his revelation from Peter, James, or John. The mystery was revealed to Paul from Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he gave it to us. Now, bring back up that chart just a second. And if you look at the chart, a failure, go ahead and bring up the whole chart, hit the next click. A failure to understand the difference between the prophetic program and the mystery program. That's what leads to false doctrine today. Most false doctrine is true doctrine that has simply been misplaced into the wrong time period. When believers today in the mystery program, when we're trying to live our Christian life by doctrine that is associated with Israel's prophetic program, either here or here or here, when we're trying to live our life by the prophetic program instead of the revelation God gave us about the mystery program, that's when you end up with confusion. That's when you end up with false doctrine. It's just true doctrine, maybe for this time period, and they're trying to cram it over here. Or it's doctrine for over here in the tribulation, and they're trying to cram it over here into the church age. Or it's kingdom doctrine over here when Christ comes back to the earth. And then they try to cram it over here. For example, if you turn on the TV, a lot of times you'll hear what's called prosperity theology. You'll hear preachers talk about the fact that it's God's will for you to be healthy and wealthy and to be materially prosperous on the earth, and that if you're not materially prosperous, then you're out of the will of God because that's God's will for you. And do they have verses? Yeah. Of course they've got verses. The problem is, they're taking verses out of context. They're taking prosperity verses that deal with the prosperity that God's going to bring to Israel in the kingdom, and then they're not telling you that's the context. Is this over here, the 1,000-year kingdom? And then, boom, they're putting them over here in the church age. And that's not a... Did Paul teach us that we were going to be materially prosperous, yes or no? Paul never taught the church that. He taught just the opposite. You can expect persecution. You know, and he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but the living. Paul never assumes everyone. He says there may be a few that are rich in this world, but you better warn them, you know. And so Paul says, be content with such. If you got food and clothing, be content with such things as ye have. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And so, but that's where, you say, where do they get this stuff from? Get it from the Bible. But they're taking the Bible out of context. You know? And so, that's what we're talking about here. Now, Paul says, go back to Colossians and we'll end with this, and this will be it. Colossians 1:26. And next week we'll move into them. We are going to finish this chapter next week, okay? Y'all don't believe me. I can tell, but we are. Look at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made. And that's a good word. What is it? That means he's made it known. God's made it public. Now look up here. what was a mystery back here, Paul says now he's made it known. He's revealed it in due time. Paul says now it's been made known. Look, you've got to understand something. The Bible, this book, is a book of progressive revelation. God is progressively revealing more and more of His plan as you go through the Bible. When Enoch, he didn't know everything that Abraham knew. Abraham knew more than Enoch. Enoch's back there at the beginning of Genesis. There is no Israel. There is no nation of Israel. And there's no written word of God. But Abraham had more information than Enoch. Did Moses have more information than Abraham? Yeah, there was no written word when Abraham was alive. You understand that? He had no Bible written. And so God made known to Abraham what he needed to know. And then Moses comes along and gives us, you know, the law. And gives Israel the law. I guess I should say, he gives Israel the law. And so he reveals all this. Then you got prophets that start coming up. And you've got all these prophets, like Samuel, we've been studying on Sunday morning, and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and all these prophets. He's revealing more and more. Then Jesus Christ comes to the earth. And Jesus Christ now is going to give Israel some information about this over here that they didn't have back here. He's going to reveal some things about the kingdom program, this and this, that they didn't have back here. So he's going to make some things known about the time of God's wrath, the time of the kingdom. He's going to give Israel some information that the folks with Moses didn't have. Now, then all of a sudden, Christ makes an unprophesied appearance from heaven. He saves Paul, and he's going to give Paul all the information about this in here that was not known previously. You're not going to read about it back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the early part of Acts. It's not there. God didn't make it known yet. He kept it secret. He kept it hidden. So the Bible is a book of progressive revelation. Y'all follow me on that. Amen? So Paul got information that Peter didn't know. And you can read about that in Galatians 2 if you doubt what I'm saying. He had to go to Jerusalem and explain it to Peter, James, and John. Okay? So he gets this. Now, when you don't understand the difference between the mystery and prophecy, when you don't understand the difference between the mystery program for today and the prophetic program of Israel, it can cause a person to either mix law with grace. They go back and they try to mix law with grace. You know what that's called? Legalism. And that's why he wrote the book of Galatians. Or, here's another thing that happens. People mix kingdom doctrine. Doctrine for the kingdom of Israel over here. They take kingdom doctrine over here in this time period, try to put it over here in the mystery program. That's how you end up with Calvinism and charismatic confusion that's going on out there today. And that's how you end up with that. You got one end over here that mixes law with grace, legalism. Then you got another branch over here. They mix kingdom doctrine with church age doctrine. And that's how you end up with all these, you know, Calvinistic and charismatic confusions. So it's so important that you rightly divide God's Word. Because the Bible is a book of progressive revelation. Can I make the Bible say anything I want it to say? Absolutely. If I take it out of context, and that's one thing that you are going to find about our church, is we're not going to grab a verse and hammer you over the head with a verse without telling you the context of the verse. And that's why, like, when we're going through the book of Samuel, that's under the Old Testament. So are there lessons that we learn from the Old Testament? Absolutely. Paul said it was written for our admonition. There are lessons we learn as we read about Abraham and Moses and Daniel and David and Samuel. So much good stuff we've learned from Samuel, okay? And David. Well, those things are there, but you got to take them in their context. You know, and as long as you do that, then you can derive a lot of benefit and a lot of spiritual learning from it. But when you begin to take it out of context and not realize the setting of those stories, that's when you can get into false doctrine and you can get off into things that are just crazy and wild, okay? So that's the mystery. So hopefully tonight you've got a good grasp now and an understanding of the mystery time period that we live in today. Now, here's the question. What does that mean to me on a practical, everyday level? Next week, we're going to study that, okay? So next week, we'll see what the mystery really means to us on a practical basis.